Welcome to TechNori Live. We're in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, what is TechNori? Well, put simply, TechNori is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, more than 300 companies have been featured by TechNori, and a good lot of them have gone on to raise more than $260 million in venture capital. But we have a lot of really, really incredible guests today, beginning off with ShiftGig. CEO Eddie Liu is here in studio.
Scott, thanks for having us.
Of course. So here's the deal on this. I mean, ShiftGig is a company I think anyone in the startup world in Chicago is well aware of. If they weren't, they became well aware of you a couple weeks ago when you guys announced the raise of a $20 million round. So tell us a little bit, for those who don't know, what exactly is ShiftGig?
Yeah, so ShiftGig is a mobile marketplace. You know, we connect businesses and with hourly workers that are qualified and vetted. And today we focus in the hospitality, retail, event marketing, or experiential marketing, and logistics e-commerce space.
Very cool. So, you know, we've had, I mean, at this point, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, how many different companies have been featured on TechNori? Was ShiftGig on TechNori stage ever?
No, I'm friends with Seth, but we have not been on TechNori.
How did that not happen? I feel like you guys should have, like, you know, twisted his arm or something.
We sneaked by.
Oh, well, we got you here anyway.
Yeah.
You know, here's the other thing. We've had, literally dozens of marketplace companies that have popped up in the last, I mean, as you know, in the last few years, many of which have been featured by TechNori, but they have a really difficult time holding ground. They end up growing, and it's like they're heavily focused in one area or one side of the marketplace, and they sort of let it slip on the other one, or they find out after developing this that there really isn't two sides to their marketplace, or at least two viable sides. How did you guys identify two very specific sides and then create a tool that they both can communicate on? Because it seems to me that the part that leaves some of these companies behind is that they create this tool, the mobile app in your case, in a way that one side of the marketplace, it's very easy and functional and intuitive. But the other side is like, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how to use it. How did you create this?
Yeah, so we actually created it in... We pivoted in 2014, and we spoke to a bunch of clients of ours and business clients and asked them what they needed. And over again, these business clients said, we need people for short-term work. We need people that are qualified and vetted. And earlier, we were more like a job board, kind of a job board on via web. And so we made a choice to put it on a mobile app, and mostly because we listened to business clients. And then everyone knows what's going on with the gig economy. A lot of people are looking for extra work. And so we kind of rode that trend of following what millennials and part-time workers and people in the freelance economy want to do. And that's kind of control their own lives and use a smartphone to have access to work. So we knew the supply side would probably be there. And we just spoke to a bunch of business clients. I think we spoke with 25, mostly in person, and some on the phone.
So curiously, and this is, I want to ask more about you personally and like how you have led this company and built this company, particularly after the pivot. But selfishly, we have been navigating as TechNori, I mean here, we've been navigating this area of, do we want to have a mobile app for TechNori and do we not? And there is, of course, as you know, a decline in mobile apps, and it's so much harder to get people to keep it on your phone. But I think that if you create a great value prop, it can be there. But you still have to get it on people's phone in the first place to get them to actually experience the value. How did you get, I understand that the millennials and stuff who want gig work, that the need is there. But how did you get them to download ShiftGig app from the get-go to show them the value prop?
Yeah, on we call it worker specialists. And initially when you apply, you actually don't download an app. You go through an application process. And part of the value prop seems too good to be true. Work when you want to work, make extra money, work cool gigs. And we have 300 people working the Super Bowl on February 5th, and we had a bunch of people work the BCS championship game in Tampa a couple weeks ago. And so we have some cool events where people can work. And so you go through a web process, and it's mobile too, but it's not through a mobile app to apply. But once you get hired, we email people a link to download the mobile app. And we say 100% of your gigs or 100% of the shifts have to be claimed through your mobile app.
That's
so you
awesome.
You either want to make money or you don't want to make money. If you want to make money, download this app.
That's, you know, it's like, I'm just going to ask you straight out, and you can be totally honest. If you don't think this is a good idea, by all means, tell me right now.
Fire away.
So I was talking to our app developer, who I'm not going to say who it is until you tell me what's a good idea or not. No, but seriously, we talked about the idea that obviously TechNori's big, like anyone can go to WGN Radio and listen to our show.
Yep.
You can go to TechNori.com and watch our videos. The problem that I experience is that listening to audio on a website, mobile website, is not a great experience. Through the app, if you customize it and build it properly, it can be a very good experience. But I don't think it's enough to get someone to download the Technori app just to listen to our stuff. However, tonight we've sold the show from this week ended up having 475 tickets sold. So that's 475 unique people that if we had made it, you need to download the app in order to show your ticket, we would have them in. And then the hope is that we create enough of a value prop for them to want to stay. Do you think that that would be enough, or would it just be a pain in their butt to have to force them to download our app? That was meandering, and I'm not sure if you could follow, but
I'd go for it. I mean, it depends.
Well, we got to build the app, though.
Yeah, you got to build.
So that costs money. So it's like I'm standing on this edge, going, we'd love to build this, but
here's the thing: today, everyone has not everyone, but I think 90% of the population of the millennials have smartphones, and that's how they
live,
communicate. That's how they consume information, and it's fine through through a browser or through HTML5, but right now I think if you guys can invest in that app and you can afford it, you probably reap an ROI.
Well, I'm going to take that. The app developer I'm talking to is Snap Mobile, and they're helping us out. Hopefully, that's a good idea. But thank you very much for that, because I literally, it's one of those things where it's hard to tell if you think people would actually use the utility factor of it or if it's just not quite there. Interesting. So back to you and the actual important part here. How did you, as the head of this company, how did you manage that pivot and keep you guys growth to where now you are, just accepted a $20 million round?
Yeah, no, so I had the benefit to having two great co-founders, and we did it together with a lot of communication with the team. I mean, at that time, we had to actually let a few people go, and we had to take two steps backwards to be able to take three steps forward. And part of it was being extremely transparent, because we did have to actually let a couple web developers go to be able to add mobile developers. And we had to let a couple salespeople go because we weren't selling anything then.
Yeah.
And so we did the tough things that you could do as a startup in order to stay alive. And then we built some product, an MVP product, and we started working with clients. And, fortunately, people used our early product and service, and it just started taking off in 2014.
That's awesome. So at this stage now, this is 2017, so you've officially, the round is in, the money is there. If you can answer this, what are some of the first things you needed this money for? Where do you see this, the ubiquitous answer is always growth, but where did you see the need for more funding and to bring on investors and things like that? What was the main need for you?
Yeah, so this is our Series C.
Yep.
So now we've raised $56 million. And really, this is to fuel growth and to invest in product. So we're going to double down on our engineering and product team, and because there's a lot of things that clients want, and these are large enterprise clients. 2 years ago, it was mostly small event companies and catering companies, and today we're dealing with a lot of larger enterprise clients. And so we're going to invest in product and tech. And two, we're going to continue adding sales and marketing and grow in both verticals as well as cities.
Very cool. And I don't know if you can answer this or are willing to answer this, but this has been sort of the popular move, at least, I mean, I guess I would say globally as well as nationally, but in Chicago in particular, amongst companies that I would say are around your size and definitely in that you are definitely B2C, but there's a very B2B component to it,
mm-hmm.
Are looking towards small acquisitions, whether it's talent grabs or whatever. Is that something that's on your radar, whether you're actually going to do it or not now? It's a different question, but do you look for companies that are kind of coming up slowly in your space that you could either do a talent grab or, I guess as they call it, an acqui-hire? What's your position on that?
Yeah, so we're certainly opportunistic as it relates to acquisitions, and we bought a company in Chicago called Booked Out in Q3, and they've now merged with us, and we basically wanted to double down in the experiential marketing vertical, and they were two blocks away, and we met with them for about 4 or 5 months and thought it made sense to combine tech teams and combine sales and marketing resources and really be the dominant player together. And I think we'll continue to be opportunistic moving forward. But having said that, we don't have an M&A team. It's not something that there's no function focused on that. And because we just see a lot of growth organically.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, it does seem like in the position, particularly where you are right now, that it would be sort of a, I guess, an opportunity? If something comes up that like makes sense, we go after it. But right now, you guys could, there's so much market left for you to grab, I feel like, that you know, it's probably not as necessary.
Well, I think what we've proven in 2016 is that and Shift Gig works across many verticals.
Yeah.
Prior to 2016, we were just in food service, and now we're in hotels, and we're in big retailers and small retailers. And we started experiential marketing. We chose to double down via an acquisition. And you know, in 2017, you'll see us in logistics and e-commerce.
I was just going to say, I would be remiss not to ask you, given the fact that you know, who you are and what you do, to be able to have the opportunity to ask you this question. From an economic standpoint, you see, as you mentioned, Shift Gig. Obviously, you guys have doubled down in shift work. Where do you see the average worker, sort of like what their job responsibility look like? Is it most people still have full-time jobs and there's a few side job type people?
Yep.
Or do you see people actually having like multiple, what I would call full part-time jobs, if that makes any sense?
Yeah. So in our, you know, we have about just under 20,000 people on our platform, and over 70% of them have a primary occupation or a part-time job. And some of it's by choice. Some of it, you know, they choose to work part-time or they choose to want to work in a flexible way. Some of it is because they're at some big box retailer, they're at a restaurant, and they're only given 20 to 25 hours in a week for a variety of reasons. Either the company doesn't want them to have overtime, or maybe the Affordable Care Act prevents them from working 30 plus hours. Or maybe it's just scheduling. And so because of that, they might want to control their own schedule. And so with Shift Gig, they're allowed to work when they want to work, right? We don't tell them when to work. They just pop open the app. They see what's available that meets their skills, and they claim a shift, and then they show up and work, and they get paid.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I wrote a blog about this not that long ago, but I feel like it's not going to be, I guess it's going to be commonplace, and maybe not 17, 18, but like getting right around there, 18, 19, 20. I can't believe we're talking about 2020. That's insane. But you know, 18, 19, and 20, that you're going to see multiple people, what I would call sort of like the handyman. Like they are their own entity. I am Scott Catoon, LLC, and I have the skill set of being able to windbag into a microphone and sometimes draw cool doodles. And so I go to different companies and serve those purposes full time, but...
I mean, all the macro trends are there, right? Number one, businesses have gotten rid of the 30-year career and the 40-hour work week. So businesses tend to outsource more or... not offshore necessarily, they outsource to traditionally contingent labor agencies or staffing companies. People want to work differently too, and the millennials want to work in a flexible kind of control their own time, if you will. Baby boomers are retiring at kind of $250,000 a month.
Yep.
That's a lot of people retiring. And so the composition of the U.S. workforce is changing. And last thing, you know, the smartphone is a great equalizer. People have information at the tips of their fingers, right? And thus you see lots of people choosing to be Uber drivers. It's not the unemployed person that says, oh, let me borrow a car and I'll be an Uber driver. It's most Uber drivers have some kind of occupation and they're choosing to make extra money.
So would you say the power right now lies in the hands of the gig worker or in the companies that are hiring? Who's got the upper
hand? I think there's a balance. I think there's a balance of power. But there's certainly a shift. Whereas 10 years ago, it was certainly in the hands of the business enterprise.
Yep.
And today, given unemployment is under 5%, probably under 4%.
Depends on who you ask,
in many
of
states. And depends how you define unemployment. Yeah. Certainly, it's lower today than where it was 7 or 8 years ago.
For sure.
And because of the labor markets are tight, you know, I think that it's literally at the hands of the future of work is really the future of workers.
Very cool. Awesome words. Where do people go and how do people start using Shift Gig?
And you can go to shiftgig.com and you can go to the App Store on your iPhone or go to or via your Android phone. And you can find us through we have a bunch of referral partners as well.
Very cool. And then on social media, you guys follow at Shift Gig, I imagine.
Yep.
Very cool.
Facebook, Twitter.
Awesome. Eddie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us,
this
Scott.
Has been great. Have a good day.
Yeah.
You can stream this episode and more on technori.com, and you can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and other tech bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter @Technori, or follow me @Catoon. Boom, that's a wrap.